Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hey guys, it's Christine. My one-woman show, Surviving the Ride, has been accepted into the White Fire Theater Solo Festival. It's one night only, Saturday, February 16th, at the fantastic White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California. If you're in LA, guys, I really want to see you there. Head over to ChristineBlackburn.com for tickets and stick around after the show for a small reception. I hope you guys can make it. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor and comedian Jason Stewart talks about his experience at Burning Man.
He said, there's a little pot in there. I said, I never did that. It's Burning Man. I'm going to explore, right? I had no idea. I thought you're only supposed to eat like half of one. I had around six.
Today on the show, actor-comedian Jason Stewart talks about his experience at Burning Man and why he left. Stay close.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason Stewart, and you're listening to Story Worthy.
Welcome to Story Worthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Story Worthy. I hope you guys had a chance to listen to last week's show with cartoonist and comedian Mo Welsh. Do you know Mo Welsh?
No, I've never heard of Mo Welsh before. No, I have. Honestly, I have heard of Mo Welsh.
She is a very talented comedian. She's down at the Improv quite a bit. Anyway, she's fabulous. Follow her on Twitter and all that. But the point is, go back and listen to her show, which the title of it escapes me right now, but it's about warning signs in the beginning of a relationship.
The red flags.
The red flags.
Oh, God.
Exactly. And it's so funny. Some people, you see them, but
I saw them in the last one of my relationship. I met this incredible Italian man. He was just absolutely wonderful. And he came from Italy, you know, and he could barely speak English, which is perfect for me because I like to do most of the talking. And he was so sweet. And every time I'd see him, he'd say things like, I had done this movie where I gained 15 pounds to play this part. And I'd lost some weight. And he says, oh, honey, don't get too skinny. I like you the way you are. I said, I'm going to marry you. Yeah. So Trump doesn't have you deported.
All right. That's the thing. When you start going out with somebody, there could be red flags, but you're not even looking at them.
You don't care.
Because you just want that.
No, you get to a certain age, you just don't care. You think, oh, God, I got to compromise.
Oh, well, you mean in that you don't want to compromise?
You feel like you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. Nobody's perfect.
Well, and also...
And you get someone that got a couple miles on him. You know, things happen. I mean, this was a brand new gay. So he's in his 40s and he's a brand new gay. You know, like the kind that comes out of a box like a Star Wars figure.
He hadn't come out of the closet.
Nobody messed
it
until his 40s. And he was just, late
30s.
You know, so he was like a collectible. You know, nobody had touched him or messed him up. And he had that new gay car smell.
I'm not familiar with that smell. But I do know what you're saying in terms of like, you know, infatuation or...
Well, he just seemed nice and nobody wrecked him. You know, he was so sweet, and that was part of the thing that made him want to go back to his ex. So I had to report him to the authorities.
You did not. You are so bad. Listen, when you're dating at our age, there are a lot of people involved.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's
kids.
Coming in with just like I just came out of college and I'm starting new.
Hey, let's just move in together.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Why not? You know? So there are issues. The point is, go back and listen to Mo Welsh's episode, you guys, but not today, because today I am here with comedian and actor Jason Stewart, and he brings forth the topic, Burning Man, not what I thought it was.
So I say to myself, I bet this guy did not have a good experience. Don't tell me now.
I won't.
Don't tell me now because I'm excited to hear your story.
But I wasn't going to.
I'm just saying that I've had people on this show. You're maybe my 540th guest.
Really?
Really. And so I've had about five Burning Man stories. In fact, I've had some like in tandem, like year after year, they keep coming back and telling their new experience.
Because there's so much that goes on there.
There's so much that goes on. There's so many people and it's such a thing. But everybody I've known that has gone there has loved it in their own way. I know for me personally, I believe the ship has probably sailed because I'm old, but I do think it would have been in my vernacular because I, you know, it would have been in my wheelhouse because I'm a hippie.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Oh gosh.
The point is,
you do have a tambourine on the wall in your house and a Neil Young record that is framed. Yeah, so that I think is really interesting.
Hey, listen, man, I'm happy you came
today.
All
you need is a tambourine, honey.
And I'm super excited with that in mind. He's not lying. That's my point. Listen, I'm very excited that you came on the show today, Jason, really. And I want to ask you something before we get to your story, and that is about investing. I'm just saying, there's a new app out there. I've talked about it before. It's called Robinhood, and it lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. So right there.
Love that.
Sit with that. I know. So you go to Charles Schwab, you go to Price Waterhouse, you go to all these other venues, and they're going to charge you commissions. But with Robinhood, you guys, it's right there on your phone, and it's commission-free. What they do is they strive to make financial services work for everybody, you know, not just wealthy people. And they do it in a non-intimidating way so that newcomers can invest for the first time with confidence and not think they're messing up. Robinhood is simple and intuitive. They have a very clear design with data presented in a very easy-to-digest way. Jason Stewart, I need my financial stuff in a very easy to digest way.
Oh, so do I, because I don't understand it all.
I want to be spoon-fed, and I want to be confident, and I want to feel good about it.
I want it simple, and I want it to make sense.
That's my point. So really, you guys, check out Robinhood. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track your favorite companies with a personalized news feed. It's really super cool. And right now, you guys, Robinhood is giving my listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint. No kidding. To help build your portfolio.
Free?
So, free. Swear to God.
I love free things.
So sign up at storyworthy.robinhood.com.
Say it again.
That's storyworthy.robinhood.com. And you will get yourself a free stock. No kidding, you guys. So please sign up at storyworthy.robinhood.com. And this is going to be the best thing you do in 2019. Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
All right. I'm just making sure because this is for real and it's cool and it's right there. And I'm like in line at the post office. Yeah, I still go to the post office. And I'm looking down.
What do you do there?
I buy stamps.
For what?
I weigh things. I send things to my mother because I'm a good person.
To go see where you
and I'm working on my stock portfolio right there in the line. Okay, let's say I'm at the Trader Joe's.
And?
I'm waiting in the line.
Okay.
I whip out my phone.
You're able to take care of yourself.
The master of my own domain. That's my point. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Stewart's here. I can't wait to hear his story. But before we get to Jason's story, I did want to remind you guys to tell your friend about Storyworthy. Okay. That's all I'm going to say today. I'm not going to mention the website and all the social medias. I want to tell you this, Jason Stewart. You just mention the show to a friend. You show them how to get it on your phone. It's very simple. Everybody has it. It's free for everybody. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, NPR One. You know the sources. Stitcher, of course. And if you share it with one person,
they'll share it with someone else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. Will you?
Of course. I've already done it.
I love you.
I really did. Who did you have on? There's someone else that I did. I can't remember, but I did it when I first met you and I saw the show live.
Oh, really? How sweet of you.
Well, I always do. It's how easy. It's just one click.
It is one click. Nice. I like that. All right, you guys. He's here right now. Jason Stewart. He's an actor and a comic, and he's been in over 40 popular television shows. That's amazing.
Probably more now. That's an older thing. I've been around 40 or 50 now, and I've probably been in over 100 movies.
You've been in, just regarding your television credits, you've been on shows like Entourage and The Closer, Will and Grace, George Lopez, Everybody Hates Chris, House, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's one of my favorites.
Love was great. Judd Apatow show. That was the most recent and so much fun.
How wonderful. And so then you worked with Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He actually sent me an email and told me how to play the part.
That is so cool.
And he helped me so much.
Wow. And what was the role exactly?
I played a shrink on the show.
And it was like how many lines? Like seven, eight?
No, it was a whole. I was a guest star. I played one of the characters, a guy from Mad Men. I can't remember his name. I played his shrink.
Wow, Jason, so. That's really great.
But then I did Swedish Dicks also recently with Keanu Reeves, and that was like heaven on earth.
Wow, no kidding.
Because everybody, the minute I put it on Facebook, people like went nuts, and I had no idea.
He's beautiful. That,
yeah, but he was so popular. I mean, I knew he was. You know, he's an action star, but I didn't think my fans and my friends were act, and they went just, oh my, Keanu Reeves, and then what happened is he. He's an odd guy. So he said he didn't have any place to stay that night after the second day I was working. And I said, well, you can stay at my place. I have a guest room. And he's been there since. He hasn't left.
You're such a liar. You're such a liar.
I tell
You're
her.
Killing me.
But I'm for a second, you thought yes,
no,
didn't you?
I did.
Just for a second?
You are best known for playing Dr. Thomas, the gay family therapist on My Wife and Kids. That was a recurring role.
Yeah, I did that for quite a while.
That must have been a blast.
I work with Damon Wayans, and I've known him since I used to work at the Comedy Store. I used to drive him home. He had all these kids, and he didn't have a car. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
And it was one of the easiest jobs to get because everybody in the room, in the writer's room, when they wrote the part, said Jason Stewart. I mean, Don Rio, Jim Valley, Bruce Fine.
That's amazing.
Kim Wayans, all these people who knew me, and they said, who's going to play this part?
That's amazing.
And it was written very bitchy and sort of gayish bitchy, and I played him completely different. I played him like the nicest person ever, and he just wanted to help. And it recurred, and it was so much fun.
That is fantastic. And it was a big, you made it your own.
It was a big... I didn't know. If I auditioned for it, I would not have gotten the part, I don't think.
It's really interesting. That's a gift. You know, that's like an LA moment when something like that happens.
And I've been lucky with a lot of those.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You also perform stand-up comedy all over the place. And you guys can find Jason Stewart over on Twitter at Jason_Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T.
Stewart.
Stewart. And at your website, jasonstewart.com. All right, you guys, wherever you are.
On Instagram, everybody says I have to get up on Instagram, so it's the Jason Stewart.
The Jason Stewart.
I screwed up and I didn't do everything right and didn't get the same name on everything.
That's what happens, man. There's just so much you got to keep on top of.
But my name is involved in everything that I'm in. Like Facebook is Jason Stewart 2, T-O-O, and so everything is involved some way.
It makes a lot of sense to keep your name involved. You know what I mean?
Just go to jasonstewart.com and everything is there.
All right, you guys. Wherever you are, put your hands together for Jason Stewart.
Thank you. Okay, so around 2010, I decided to get much more self-aware. I've always been like that. I've always wanted to go deeper into who I was. And I was sort of bummed out. I was hosting this radio show on National Lampoon's comedy radio called Sex.com. We do it on the air with this crazy porn star. And it was just so weird and inappropriate. And I just didn't have a good time. And I decided to take a vacation. And my friends knew I was stuck in a rut. And they knew that I wanted to do something different. And people say, go to Burning Man. Go to Burning Man. It's going to be really great. However, they told me that I shouldn't go by myself on the first time. So I had been in this group called the California Men's Gathering. And there was this really hot guy. And his name was Michael. And I'm going to say his last name wrong. Bonfiglio. And he was the dot guy. If you know anything about him, he's an artist. And he was so cute and so hot. And I had this terrible crush on him. And of course, he only wanted to be friends with me. And until one Christmas, something happened. But other than that, he only wanted to be friends with me. But he told me all about Burning Man. He said, you can go and I can turn you on to this group called the Astro Pups. Oh, God. And let me explain this group of gay men called the Astro Pups. They are guys who like to wear these outfits like that are dogs. So, you know, like terry cloth and you know, wool, and they wear these dog outfits. And I thought, okay, you know, who am I to judge? But believe me, in my head, I was judging. Now, the lead pup of the group, let's just call him Jin, or John. Let's call him John. Okay, Jim. And he owned a health food store, and he was also doing daddy porn on the side. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Again, I'm not judging. So they had these phone sessions that we would do, because it was 2010, and everybody would talk on this phone group. And I wanted to be just one of the guys, so I just used my first name. I said, hi, I'm Jason Stewart. And all the guys were gay guys that lived in San Francisco and some different parts of the country. And one guy goes, oh my God, you sound like that actor-comedian guy, Jason Stewart. I said, well, thank you, I'm him. He says, you're not, which people always do. And I go, yes, I am. Not, oh, really? And I just wanted to be one of the crowd. But I moved on. So that lasted around 2 seconds. And since I was already, you know, stuck out for what I did for a living. The sheer fact of that is I just wanted to, you know, be part of the group. So everybody would talk and they were telling you what you had to bring. You have to bring a lot of stuff to Burning Man. It's a big shopping trip. You know, and I was told that when you first arrive, you quickly have to learn that there's this playa, and it's in porta potties, and that is it. You have to bring everything else. So I bought a tent, a Camelback backpack, which is a backpack that has water and it has a tube on it, a sleeping bag, which I already had, and all the necessary accoutrement I thought I would need. I also didn't want to bring anything that was extra fancy or anything that was, you know, movie star or television actor or, you know, showbiz. I wanted to be very conservative. And I even brought my friend David's, you know, shitty folding chair. So the day before we were supposed to arrive, I drove my two-door, you know, Toyota RAV4 all the way to San Francisco. And I arrived at Jim's house, the porn health star, healthy guy, who owned the health food store and did porn on the side. I arrived at his house. And my sinuses, like they are today a little, completely went nuts. He had a cat. So I stayed at his house that night. We were going to leave early in the morning. And my whole face blew up. My eyes actually turned white. The whites of my eyes got swollen. And I woke up the next morning and I could hardly breathe. I had pounds and pounds of Allegra. I didn't sleep at all. So 2 weeks prior, the porn star health food person said I could grab a bunk in his camper that we were taking to Burning Man. Now, he was rescinding this offer because he said he wanted to use the camper for a 24-hour sex thing so he could have sex with people. This wasn't even a camper that we were supposed to have originally. Originally, we were supposed to have a larger one, but that's a whole different story. So there we were, me, the porn star, and another guy was driving with us, this hard of hearing guy. His name was Benny, who was a bit older than us, and a few young guys. And if that wasn't bad enough, this thing had to go, this that we drove in, this new camper drove like, I swear to God, like 45 miles an hour going uphill. It was just absolutely awful. And as we pulled into the venue, we made a plan. The younger puppies, those are the younger guys that were with us, they would all go first, and then we would go stake our claim there. So the only thing I had to eat that day was at Starbucks, I had a little bit of a bag of nuts and some vitamins and a Diet Coke, which I no longer drink. And we had to unload all the food into the trailer, and they had the trailer because they were getting the water. So what all we had was our tents and stuff and this fakakta, you know, crappy, you know, trailer that was so old, and the guy that could hardly hear me and the guy that was looking for guys. And we're sitting there, and he had brought some pot cookies. Now, he said, I was starving by then, because all I had drank all day was nuts. So I said, could I have a couple cookies? So I ate the cookies. I didn't know. He said, there's a little pot in them. I said, I never did that. It's Burning Man. I'm going to explore, right? I had no idea. I thought, you're only supposed to eat like half of one. I had around six.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, I did the over... over recommended amount, and approximately by 800% is what I was told. I had the sweats, I had fear, I was paranoid, I went completely nuts. He kept telling me to put up my tent. I didn't want to put up my tent, and he put the tent up and don't put the tent up. And finally, I put the tent up. So when everybody else put up their tent, it was in like a wagon wheel circle. Mine was off to the side. So I was all by myself. So of course, hence my idea of being wanting to be part of the group. Didn't work out very well. And after the younger guys brought the water and stuff, they arranged their tents, of course, and everything. And they all got there, put all their stuff in. And it was just so sad because I so wanted to be part of it. And then I just basically went into my tent and passed out with all my clothes on. The next morning, I woke up and there was a sandstorm that enveloped into the campground. All of us were like in shock. And we went to shelter into this one big tent. This guy had a couple of them, let me tell you. They brought tents that looked like you were on a movie set. So, of course, I bought the little shitty tent because I didn't want to seem like I was in show business. So I'm in this tent. They allowed me to go into the bigger tent with the other guys. We sat there on wooden benches for, I think, close to 6 hours, like it was Katrina. It was just nuts. And, of course, my friend, you know, who had the camper, wouldn't let me anybody in his camper, didn't ask anybody because he wanted to go in there and sleep and make sure that if anybody would come along that he could have sex with during the typhoon that was going on. It was just crazy. Everywhere, sand was everywhere, in my nose, in my hair, under my nails, in my, you know, if you wear contacts, it's a nightmare. After the storm subsided a bit, I toured the Playa, where I found the most outrageous art that you could ever see. I mean, detailed things that were just so brilliant, and things that looked like your mother had made them in an art class, trying to do something with their life. And it was interesting. So the first day was okay, and I walked around. And for some reason, I just was not able to connect with the Astro Pups. Surprise, surprise. I found out they were all living out their passions, but the only thing that they didn't tell me is all of them were on LSD. All of them. And I had no idea. Apparently so is my friend, the health store owner slash daddy porn guy. Okay, so LSD was not my problem. The pot cookies were ever. I mean, I was still high, and I'm walking around, and I've got this Camelback, and I'm wearing shorts. And the Camelback apparently was a cheap one, so it was leaking. So most of the day I walked around and looked like I had peed in my pants. That was just a lot of fun all day long. And I didn't know it for quite a while, so people were laughing at me. It was terrible. I can't tell you how uncomfortable I was physically. And then I went to this place where all these guys would go to hook up and meet. And I think that I was so high, I met this guy that I thought was just absolutely incredible. And we had this incredible talk and this incredible sex. And I thought, oh my God, I have met the guy that is the one for me. But I was so high that I couldn't remember his name. And I can't remember whether I actually imagined it or it actually happened for real. So the next day I woke up again. I walked into the U-Haul truck where we kept all the food. And I was so tired and so exhausted. I'm walking around. I put together a little bowl of cereal for myself and banana. And someone had moved the door when I went in. So I hit my head on the door and I passed out. So, and honestly, that was the best sleep I had since I was there. And when I came to light, all the guys were gone. I was completely disoriented. And I just said, can I say the F word here? Fuck this. I am going. So I went over to the center of the Playa where they have the office. And I wanted to find out how I could leave because I wanted to leave early. Now, they don't want you to leave. They really don't. So there's a gal over there and she looks like, I don't know, she was wearing a dress. She was very much of a hippie. She looked like an old handbag. All these wrinkles and one boob was hanging out the whole time. So I'm trying not to look at her boob and I'm talking to her and she says, well, you could do this. You could go over to the bus stop and you could wait there. Well, when does the bus come? Every few hours. Do you know what time? No, but if you wait there, it will come. Build it. It will. So I went over, went back to the camp. Still no one was there. I left my tent there. I left my friend David's shitty chair. I packed up my roller suitcase, my little thermos with food, and a backpack, put it over my shoulder, and I left. And I got into this piece of an art car. What an art car is, it's a car that art is all on it. And this one looked like a flying carpet. So the guy would not let me sit on the flying carpet, but he would let me put my luggage and stuff on it. So he brought me, I said, could you take me to the bus stop? He said, I don't know if I'm going there. Well, where are you going? He said, I don't know. So I was able to walk behind the flying carpet for a while. And I was able to have my luggage. And then around three blocks before it, he let me get on there. He could see that I was tired. He finally did. And then I went to sit at the bus stop. And there was this young guy that looked like Philip Seymour Hoffman, God bless him. And he was like 19, a 19-year-old version of him. And he was very upset. And he was also leaving. I said, what's wrong, man? And he says, well, I came here and I wanted to just lose my virginity and have sex with a girl. And I couldn't find anybody. No one would have sex with me. And I said, oh, God, don't worry. It will happen. And he said, no, it won't. And I'm not gay. And I said, no, I know you're not gay. It's okay. It'll happen. You're very, you know, he was a cute guy. He was a little chubby and stuff. So he sat there and we sat there for hours. And then a woman walked by and she said, you know, there's a cop here and he has a car and he's going back to Sacramento. And you can go to Sacramento and then you get a plane or a bus back to San Francisco. And I said, oh, really? And then I found this guy. And he came by around an hour later. And I said, well, can you drive me there? Are you going there today? He said, well, I don't know where my car is. I said, what do you mean? You're a police officer. He said, yeah, my brother borrowed it. I said, when is he bringing it back? He said, yesterday. So that didn't work out. So finally, this Partridge Family kind of bus came by that looked like that had wood paneling on the side. And I got in there, and I this actual bus takes you to the little town. I forgot the name of it, that has a little store and a little hotel. So I went to the little town and I made a sign that said, I will pay for gas to go to Sacramento or San Francisco. The minute I put the sign out, like in a TV movie starring Doris Day or somebody, or I should be more, Barbara Eden or somebody, more current, Heather Locklear, this guy in a truck stops. And this young, it's an older man with a kid. And the kid said, oh my God, that's Dr. Thomas from My Wife and Kids. He said, come on in. I got in there. They drove me all the way to Sacramento. They took me to their house, or this little apartment that they had. And I took a shower, and I took a shower, and I swear to God, it looked like a sandcastle had washed off me. I could make a sandcastle in the bottom of the shower. And they took me for Chinese food. It was like I had never eaten before in my life. And then I couldn't get a flight out because there were no flights. I guess I had to wait hours and hours and hours. So I decided to take the bus. So I went to the bus station, and I'm sitting in the bus station, and there's two people there. One guy with my back to me, and another guy, young guy who's a military guy. And I started to talk to him, and I said, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going home, and I'm thinking about doing another tour. I said, why? He said, well, I want to buy a house for my wife and our baby. I said, are you insane? I said, don't do it. I said, who cares about the house? Have an apartment. You can have your penis shot off. Who knows if you're going to come back and you're going to be alive? You know, don't do it. And he said, and we talked and talked for almost an hour. And the guy behind me said, oh my God, you're Jason Stewart, the comedian, aren't you? I used to date your sister. So no matter where I went, people knew me. It was crazy. So we got on this bus going back from Sacramento to San Francisco, which took a lot of hours. And in the bus was an assortment of people that you have never met in your entire life. There was a Latin guy in the back who was singing Come to the Florida Sunshine Tree, and he sang that probably for at least an hour or two. There was a little Asian boy that wanted to kiss me that said he wasn't gay. There was a woman named LaWanda who had a hairdo that looked like that she had spent 4 days perfecting, wearing these tight, tight leggings, these incredibly gorgeous tennis shoes, and this long t-shirt that said, I'm not your bitch. And I said, and she came over and sat near me, and she said, look, I can protect you. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. I said, where have you been? You know, why are you taking this? She says, oh, I was just in jail. I said, well, for what? She said, well, I can't believe this. You know, it wasn't mine. It was my husband's. What? Just a little bit of pot. This is before pot was allowed. And apparently it was like 10 ounces. And I said, well, where's your husband? He said, well, he couldn't get out. And I said, why didn't you wait for him? She says, I have to pay my bills. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, you can mail them in. She said, no, I pay them in person. So she was going back to San Francisco to pay her phone bill. I am not kidding. And then the saddest thing, there was this really sweet couple with four children under the age of six. And they were from Kansas. And they were a black and white couple. And they were very, very sweet. And they had their car stolen in Kansas City. And they were moving from Kansas City to Portland, Oregon. And they were going to live with their family because times were hard. And someone, while they were at the hotel, stole their car. It was just so sad. And we would have stops on this thing. So one of the stops, we went out, and the mom was holding her kid. And one of her 6-year-old was standing next to her, and the mom was smoking. And she kept tipping her ashes, and it was hitting the kid's hair. And LaWanda took the diet. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I would buy, at each stop, I would buy a LaWanda chips, chili chips, and a Sprite or a Mountain Dew. I think it was a Mountain Dew if they had it, or Sprite. So she took the Mountain Dew and she poured a little bit on the kid's head to put the ashes out because his head was smoking just a little. And the mother didn't even notice. She was so exhausted. It was so hysterically funny, but so sad at the same time. And then we finally got to San Francisco. I found a Russian cab driver. This is before Uber, who drove me back to the health store owner/daddy porn guy's house. And he didn't know where it was, and I don't know, and he couldn't speak English. I don't know how we finally got there. And I got my car, and I went to this hotel, and I just cried. I put on TV on Lifetime, The Prince of Tides with Barbra Streisand was playing, and I cried for 2 hours straight. Got into the shower, got into bed, fell asleep, and left and went home the next day.
Honestly, Jason, I don't think this sounds like that bad of a Burning Man experience.
It was awful.
But it's so funny. Do you think then it was all spurred on because of those pot cookies? It was just too many.
Oh, yes.
That's too bad. It like ruined your whole
experience.
Well,
it was also when you go to Burning Man, you have to go with the right people.
Yeah.
And you have to go with a support team. And you have to know how to maneuver yourself through it. So I do want to go again someday.
Because your support team was on LSD and they didn't tell you.
And they were wearing Astropup outfits.
Yeah.
The whole entire time.
Yeah. Were they worried about you when you left?
Not at all.
Just whatever.
Nobody called. Nobody cared.
It seemed like you were just like, your experiences just continued on. So it seemed like, meeting the dad and the son, and them taking you back to their house, getting a shower and the Chinese food and spending the night, and then the train station and or the bus station and all these things going on. It seems like a Burning Man experience, even though you were in Burning Man
off the playa.
Yeah, off the playa. So you were 2 days in Burning Man and 2 days out of Burning Man, but it was still like a 5 day experience. It was really interesting.
You know what it really teaches you? It teaches you that no matter what happens in your life, you really can't plan on it being the way. You have to just let go.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have had it was literally 9 years ago now, 8.5, 9 years ago. And I think I'm in a different place. I might have stayed and just moved someplace else.
But I think it was all messed up because of the too many pot cookies.
I had no
this
idea.
This should be a warning out there, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not.
Well, this guy
more.
Just let me do it. He didn't. Yeah. He said, "Why?" I said to him, "Why didn't you let me do it?" He said, "Well, it seemed like you like cookies."
Well, no kidding.
And he was so high, I don't think it mattered.
Oh man, So when you were in that big tent because of the sandstorm. So everybody, I'm just picturing like hundreds of people in this tent, and then
just the Astropups.
Oh, just the Astropups
in our little lot.
So what were you bartering? Because at Burning Man, everything's about bartering. There's no currency. It's just like, I'll give you a beer and you give me a back rub or something.
But mostly people were telling stories.
That was your gift to the playa?
Telling stories, yeah. Just really? Telling stories and sitting there. There was no bartering at that point. It was pretty bad. You had to sort of sit there, and you had your goggles on and your thing wrapped around your head. We all looked like, Juliana Moore and Safe.
So it wasn't like anybody was like drinking and having fun. Or no. At that point, it was almost an emergency situation.
It was really bad because it was, you have to get that on the playa, there is nothing.
Right.
It's just everything they do is built there. Everything they do is built there. Built. And the guy and the kid who actually drove me from the little city to Sacramento, he and his group, he does this all year round, and they build a whole community, like an actual apartment building of some sort, and they start before it. That's why they have that apartment in Sacramento, because they go back, he stays there when he's not there, and then they build the stuff, so he kept going back for supplies in the city. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. I mean, it's not just the weekend. It's a year-long event, really.
It's not Club Man.
It culminates into that Burning Man, as it were. I didn't know they had an office.
Oh yeah.
What do you mean by an office? There's a tent that says office on it, and then
in the center of Burning Man. You've never been, right?
No.
So in the center of Burning Man, they have sort of like a Greek theater that's round, and this is also 9 years ago, so it's probably changed. And there was a little section where people could use the computers, where they had one little thing you could do that over there and use phones, and phones didn't work like they did now.
Yeah.
So you could go over there, and there was a woman, and there was like three different booths where you could go and ask questions if you needed help.
I see.
And you could get coffee there, and that's it.
Uh-huh. And so, and also it would be like calling 911, but you go to the office.
Right.
Something like
that. Yeah, with the woman with the one boob hanging out who could barely have a coherent sentence.
What is daddy porn?
Oh, what is daddy porn?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, in the gay world, there is all sorts of different subgroups. Mm. Guys that wear leather
would
be equivalent to women wearing lace.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of in a relationship, literally daddy son or daddy boy. It's just sometimes there's a role playing thing,
right.
where the guy is the more masculine and the boy is the more feminine, or the boy is the more boyish, but it has nothing to do with age.
Right.
So one could be different age. It's a role. It's not an
circus
age.
Trainer lion.
Exactly.
It doesn't. You know. Yeah. It's yes. just another. It's just another picture.
Yes, and then you have the bears, and then you have the guys that like the
submissives.
Yeah. This. No, the bears aren't the submissives.
No, I know they're bears and. That's oh yeah. The opposite. Yeah.
Yes, and then you have the.
What are those called? Pups.
Pups. Well, that's a whole different group too.
Cubs.
Yeah, the cubs are with the bears.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
There's a lot to learn.
And there's subgroups. But you know what's interesting is some people change the meanings of stuff. So it depends where you go. Then there's the whole, you know, drag world. You go from transgender totally to completely guys that like to just dress up, to guys that are gender neutral, to guys that are just very feminine, to guys that are just very stylish.
Yeah, there are all different. I tell my daughter that because I do shows down at the Lyric here. And it's often after the drag queen brunch. And so when I'm bringing my show in, the drag queen brunch folks are leaving. And these are men that are 6'1", and then they put on heels that are 5 inches tall. And now they're 6'6". And, you know, it's taken them hours to look like that. And I explained to my daughter, yeah. I say, you know, just because he's dressed like that doesn't mean he's gay or he's straight or he's, like, it's right, all kind of
right, because somebody,
fluid.
Like, in the comedy world, people will just assume that it's just one way to be gay, and there really isn't.
Well, it's all fluid, kind of.
Yeah, I guess so. But that means something, too.
Yeah, interesting. Wow.
I used to call it liquid. I thought it was liquid, and I got in so much trouble.
Liquid. I think that's more like of a...
there's nothing. That was
financial term, isn't it? Yeah, liquid?
That's my mistake.
Interesting.
Totally.
We got to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Jason Stewart. Really, great story. I've never heard that angle of Burning Man, but I liked it. I really did. I feel like you still had an all-encapsulating experience.
Yes.
And you still have a story. There's a story.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. It's not like you just decided you hated it and left pissed.
No.
You know, there was a process of...
Well, I'm an open soul.
So. You are an open soul. All right, you guys, follow Jason over there on Twitter at Jason_Stewart. And then, of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I would be remiss not to remind you guys to follow me over at Screw Stories because I have a brand new podcast. Do you know this on Westwood One podcast? It's called Screwed Up Stories with the lovely comedian Rachel O'Brien, and things are going really well over there. So head over to screwedupstories.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Screw Stories. And I want to give a big shout out to all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me and my child, and it's a new year, and this is all going to be good.
And this is how she's making her living, so
that's
I think
what
it's
I'm
cool.
Saying.
Yeah, let's go for it.
That's it. One more time on behalf of the very talented Jason Stewart. Thank you so much for coming on, really.
Thank you very much.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.